The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back at Living Waters Church. Thank you especially if you have driven here a distance. You may have not crossed an ocean, but you may have crossed the state line. And thank you for being here. We have the entire Saturday, Sunday together. That's good. Being a prophet, you don't want to rush in and rush out. Prophets are a building ministry to the church. And God is never in a hurry. The human spirit learns very slowly. Unless there's a quickening of God comes on the human spirit. Sometimes the human spirit takes a long time to heal. You, like me, will have known times in your life where your spirit has been deeply wounded. It takes some time to heal. The closer we get to God, something called religious guilt and condemnation falls off us. And we can recognize truth without being horrified by truth. Truth is here to set us free. We're going to have a good weekend looking at the truths of God as we begin the journey together. This is more of a workshop. It's the nuts and bolts workshop. It's a time for you to get out your prophetic spanners and hammers and ratchets and all kinds of stuff that's the norm as you operate in the prophetic. Sunday mornings in church, Sunday morning services, I think are like the showroom of the church. When you buy a car, they don't take you into the workshop where you see all the franchise vehicles on a ramp. They take you into a showroom where you see the staff, you see the cars. There's a coffee bar. There's sales staff that are dressed to kill. And see you as financial talent. And Sunday morning in church is like a showroom. You come into the showroom of the church, you see the families gathering together, you hear the goodness of God from the pulpit, wonderful truths expounded, and you get a real feel for the church at a showroom level. But you know what? As much as Sunday morning is the showroom of the church, I believe every church needs to have a workshop where the saints can come in and be worked upon, be adjusted, be modified. Sometimes modifications is so important in our spiritual journey. And this morning's a bit like a workshop. This is a workshop, a nuts and bolts workshop, as we focus on the theme for our weekend together, being the prophetic people, being a prophetic people. The prophetic movement came into the church in the early 1980s and was seen as a marvel. New Testament prophets came on the church landscape. People had never heard or seen anything like this in their lives. There was a tremendous movement of the prophetic in regions of America and Canada. It went across the pond to the UK. It was the North American prophetic movement that began to impact my own life in the early to mid-1990s. North American prophets would prophesy over me and were deluded into thinking I had the call of prophet on my life. And I was thinking, what are these guys on? Are they inhaling solvents? What's going on here? In those days, nobody knew me anywhere. I wasn't even Alan Who. I was Alan Why. Why would God want to work through Alan? But really, the prophetic movement has gone all around the world. And from what I can see right now, It's taken deeper root in parts of Africa, South America, and Southeast Asia. Christendom is no longer America and Western Europe. Contemporary Christendom is South Africa, is South America, Africa, and Southeast Asia. That's where a valid Reformation move of the Spirit is taking place. God has not left the church in the global north. He has not forgotten America. Be reassured. There's voices out there would have you believe that God has abandoned America. It's not true. God remembers the covenant the founding fathers of America made with him. God loves covenant. If you mention covenant to God in your prayers, he will say to you, you're talking my language. He sees the blood of Jesus in covenant. He sees things that are set in place by the Holy Spirit in covenant. The United Kingdom has left the European Union at last. 8 days ago at 11 p.m., the UK formally left the EU. It felt like New Year's Eve. There were parties in cities and there was national broadcast, fireworks, all of that jazz. And we were so conscious of a release in the spirit as the UK became a sovereign nation once again without linkage and governance going back to Brussels. What's all that to do with a nuts and bolts workshop on the prophetic? Absolutely everything. The first wave of the prophetic movement tended to be driven by gifts. God placed gifts in the body, prophets, the gift of prophecy, people moving in word of wisdom, prophetic worship leaders. It was gift driven. The prophetic movement began to transition around 15 years ago and is now found in communities. Gifts are being subsumed in communities. The prophetic is not a function of God. The prophetic is found amongst the people of God. And the people of God are absolutely everything to him. He's a caring father, a loving father. Presently, we're in a season of new prophetic birthings. But it will take place in groups, not to run in isolation, but to blend and converge with other aspects of divine birthings that are taking place in the church. It's not taking place everywhere at the same time. It's taking place. Some houses of God for such a time as this. We're going to be looking at hearing God's voice in this workshop. It's a good question. How do you hear the voice of God individually? But here's another thought. How can you hear the voice of God collectively? A major feature of the consolidated prophetic movement will be an entire congregation hearing from the Lord simultaneously. It's something that will work in the culture of the church, the vision of the church, and always releasing divine purpose. This is an hour where fresh divine purpose is being released into the church. There's a withering and dying of the old. Some churches need to die. Some moves, even denominations, need to die. Their purpose on the earth has come to an end. Church is never an organization. Church is a movement. Church is God's way of it telling the world, I am missional. God always intended a church to be missional and to be a movement. This church, Living Waters, came out of a historical move of God. And when you were planted, you became a movement very quickly indeed, with ongoing birthings of the Holy Spirit. Many of you hear God's voice frequently, walk in the authority of your life being governed by the voice of God. This is powerful. Lord, govern my life according to your word. My prayer is you will remember all of the times God has spoken to you significantly. You will have a good working knowledge of those moments in your life where the Lord spoke to you loudly and clearly. It's not just for you. Some things that God has spoken to you will be for me, because of the way what you're carrying will impact my life so profoundly. It will be for Living Waters or your home fellowships. It will be attached to the workplace, your family, the town or city that you reside. So hearing God's voice this morning is not about growing in your gift. It's about living in an enhanced relationship with God. It's all about upgrading our relationship with God this morning. That's why we're all going on the ramps together. That's why the Holy Spirit's getting us out the showroom as we're looking at prospective customers going, look at me, I'm spiritual. We're being marshalled into the workshop so the Holy Spirit can put us on the ramp, give us a tune-up, a prophetic tune-up, attach some wheel bearings, new tires, so we glide along the ancient pathways more smoothly. The Holy Spirit may even put a tiger in some of our tanks, so the lion of the tribe of Judah can roar once again. See, prophecy is not about a gift. If God just wanted voices on the earth to convey his word, he would install a prophetic vending machine in every shopping mall. God could do that. See, I couldn't find a donkey, so I've installed a vending machine. The prophetic words we give, well, they're only the tip of the iceberg. We are not little cogs in God's factory, turning around, interconnecting and doing things. We are the people of God in whom the Lord God dwells. Hearing God's voice, we need to know how to listen and hear the voice of God in our circumstances. There's a sensitivity that goes with the prophetic. We're always seeking direction, and this is appropriate, if not for now, for the immediate future, for the long term. But we need to be sensitive for the prophetic direction of others that the Lord may make us aware of. Suddenly you can know the direction that your brother or sister is going to move in because of what God gives you for them. Being sensitive in the prophetic is very important. Of course, hearing the voice of God allows you and I to access the depths of God as deep calls unto deep. I've found the word of the Lord is like a drill that keeps drilling deep, deep, deep down in my soul, cutting through the stupidity, the unbelief, the doubt, the stuff that gathers there, political ideologies. Politics is a bad word in the UK at the moment. Although I heard the Donald chappy did okay the other day in the USA, but we're moving on very quickly. The piano player in the corner stopped playing there and looked over at me and went, what? But we hear the voice of God, so we're not dependent on other people's gifts. We can pray for new revelation. God will say, it's a done deal, but you will do it my way and in my timing. We came out of a charismatic movement that brought great truths and great excitement to the church. But it created a dependency culture. We went to the healing line for healing, the prophetic line for prophecy, the prayer line for prayer, the coffee line for a cappuccino. And we made superstars out of the fledgling fivefold ministry. We made them like little rock stars in the kingdom of heaven. True discipleship is growing independence towards God and learning to be free and being utterly dependent on the Lord. This is a house that has taken hold of great prophetic traction and learned deep prophetic lessons over the years. The life of Samuel coming to a place where his call as a prophet activated and developed is legend. I give you some homework if you're zealous for prophetic things. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 all the way through to 10. I'm not going to read that portion of scripture, but it's like a course on how to grow in hearing the voice of God and the kingdom resources that are at our disposal. 1 Samuel 3, 1 to 10 is all about Samuel coming into a place where he could understand that he was actually hearing God for himself. That's not a short step forward. It involves lots of wrestling. Most of us have an anxiety about giving someone an inaccurate word. It's also important for all of us to know that whether we are old or young, we may expect to hear the voice of God. Eli and Samuel got to a place of knowing that God had been speaking. It takes time to learn the voice of God. Sometimes it's more subtle than it is obvious. It took Moses 80 years to become proficient in hearing God's voice. That's a long training ground. That's a life of ups and downs. As a murderer, grew into a place in God, he could hear the very voice of the Almighty. There are barriers to really growing and hearing the voice of God. If we're comfortable where we're at in our walk with the Lord, we will not be hungry for hearing God's voice. Pray God will give you a hunger for hearing his voice. The Holy Spirit does a lot more in our lives than give you and I occasional goosebumps. The Holy Spirit will affirm our status as children of God. If you want to get the Holy Spirit's attention in your life, ask him to affirm your status in God. He will start to tell you amazing things. Ask him to tell you who you really are, and you'll have fun. He will have fun. You will have fun. We live in a world of atheists. There's a new atheist movement out there convincing many there is no God. Well, not really convincing many. We have every right in the household of faith to be angry with atheists. But do you know how the Holy Spirit sees atheists? He sees them as comedians. He finds them very funny. He loves to give atheists minor epiphanies before they're going to sleep and just as they're waking up. He knows how to top up the anger levels of an atheist. Amen. The Holy Spirit's there for fellowship. He'll hang around with anybody, honestly. He's quite a God. He's as much Lord as the Father and the Son. 2 Corinthians 3:17 defines the Lordship of the Holy Spirit. He's as much Yahweh as the Father and the Son. The Holy Spirit will give us a hunger for his voice and get you and I to believe more in the supernatural order than the natural world we live in. Right now, there's so many voices competing for our attention. A wall of sound, satellite news channels, the radio, the workplace, all these podcasts. It's like a wall of sound coming to you and I day by day. But let me ask you right now, prophetic people, whose voices are you listening to? Whose voices have great weight in your life that when you hear their voice, you go, wow, I'm going to listen? Taking it to another place, what voices are growing you up in Christ Jesus? What voices are growing Christ in you? You would do well to take a scalpel and cut away every other voice other than the voices that are growing you up in Christ Jesus. We must push past lots of voices if we are to hear God's voice for ourselves. It's all about you and I listening. Romans 10:18. The first man and woman in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, had regular conversations with God. This didn't change after man had fallen into sin. God still spoke to sinful man. It's still in God's heart to seek him, even when we are not pleasing him. If you feel you've been involved in activities this week you know are not pleasing to God, it's okay. We're not here this morning to poke around in your life and give you an evangelical glare. God still wants to hear your voice, and God wants to deal with our issues. You can do nothing better in this life than do business with God day by day by day. I heard a life-changing truth flying over the Atlantic 2 days ago in a powerful teaching. We all wrestle with the same issues. We are all disappointed with ourselves at times. Other occasions, we can't believe what we're thinking or what's coming out of our mouth. We've all gone through times of consecration where we've consecrated ourselves before the Lord by laying down our old lives. In a sense, almost consecrating our old lives. The issues that trouble us, the flaws that are in our mind and in our heart. And we all know from experience, nothing ever changes. I can tell you why. I got this 2 days ago, and I've never stopped praying it ever since. I was praying this at 6 a.m. this morning when I was beginning to wake up. God never called you and I to consecrate our old life. He's already crucified that in Christ Jesus. He asks us daily to consecrate our new life to him. A new life. This is the material God works with. He's dealt with the old man. He's dead, done, and dusted. Yet we try and bring him alive. Sometimes we try and get him counseling. Sometimes we pamper him. Sometimes it's so tempting to have a little pity party for our old man. And we invite ourselves and we go, oh, you had it so bad. Look at all the things that happened to you. It's a miracle you're still sane. And a voice from the other room says, who says you're still sane? No, that guy's dead. It's a historical fact. as well as a spiritual fact. If you want to really get moving in God right now, on the hour, every hour, take a few seconds out and consecrate the new life unto the Father. See, hearing the voice of God is not about moving into a gift. Of course, we must have a personal relationship with God. That means something different to you as it does to me. Worship is a major component and must be cultivated in our lives. We can worship God without Jesus, but really it's only a sing-along in church. It's a Christian sing-along. And it's not that bad, because music is one of the main evidences on the planet that God exists. A song can say so much. The mystery of vibrations in the atmosphere that land in a human heart and bring such life. But true worship always begins and ends with Jesus. It's to Jesus we tap into and worship, and ends with Jesus. We always need to look in the right place. When Samuel needed to go to someone that could help him and had the authority to confirm that he really was hearing from the Lord, he went to Eli. Eli helped Samuel grow in God. Any New Testament prophet in the church today will say, yes, I had an Eli in my life. You know my Eli, he's known to some of you, Dr. Clem Ferris. He's still a very close friend. And he was my Eli that prophesied my calling a little while before it happened in Glasgow, Scotland, and then worked with me, put me into a prophetic school so I could grow as a New Testament prophet way back in the 1990s. Samuel focused on the Lord. And he looked at the overall prophetic experience as part of a learning curve. God is always closer than we think. We do not live in a demonic realm. We do not live in a satanic-drenched planet. We live in a God-drenched planet. This room is absolutely drenched with God right now. Like an invisible waterfall with no sound, such is this room, utterly drenched with God. Of course, we need to be willing servants. Eli's instruction was to say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And of course, there's a desire to be a willing servant. God will only tell us what we can handle and will not give us more revelation than is needed. The formation of a servant heart goes a long way to hearing God's voice. If I can summarize what God says, less equals more. Less equals more. When God wanted to switch some lights on, he could have said incredibly elaborate things involving science, thermal dynamics, power circuits, and all stuff unimaginable. Instead, he just said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And the planet lit up. That's impressive. Less equals more. And then we can unpack the less, so it develops deeper revelation in us. God does speak in many ways, and a key feature of this new movement in the prophetic, apart from being group-oriented, is the fact the saints are being leveraged away, weaned off from a dependence on personal prophecy. Personal prophecy birthed the prophetic movement, but now in a maturing prophetic church, so many ways the saints are discovering that God is speaking to them. God always speaks through the written word, the Bible. In fact, I'd encourage you to be bibliophiles. Be Bereans. Read the word of God until you enter into the spirit of the scriptures. Do you know the written word is absolutely drenched with the spirit of the scriptures? And it gets into your spirit the more you read the scriptures. If we approach our Bible reading legalistically, forget it. It will end very quickly in disappointment and frustration. If you need a fresh starting point in the Word of God, which we all do from time to time, we just get lost in it. We give up reading the blood sacrifices in Leviticus and say, I'll just spin a Hillsong's worship CD, put my hands in the air and sing chundery, chundery, chundery. Ask God to give you some good quality inheritance promises that come alive or animated, and then stay there. Buy a highlighter. Highlight them. Chronicle them. Don't try to make them work and don't try to make them happen. Let the living word happen to you. Catch the living word. 2 Peter 1:19 to 21 speaks of the scripture being the sure word of prophecy. It's much better than anything I can deliver. Way, 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 way superior. Billions of times over than something a prophet can deliver. This is a sure word of prophecy. God always speaks through circumstances. What's God saying to you right now through your circumstances? This is another arena where God is waiting to speak to you. Elijah encountered the drying up of the brook because God was going to move him on to the next place in divine plan and purpose. We live in different seasons of God, whether it's a church, whether it's individuals. God is never in a hurry to move us from one season to another. Ask God, what are you teaching me through the circumstances of my life right now? Yes, it does come through direct divine revelation. It's still important. We're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Prophecy remains important. Words of wisdom remain very important. Words of knowledge, such a priority in the functioning of the kingdom. Discerning of spirits helps us discern if we're hearing from God, or sometimes the occult can come after the sense of God mimicking something that God may see, may say, but there's death at the center and a curse at the center. Something that appeals to self, something that stirs the carnal man. The discerning of gifts of spirits is so vital for the church as we live in an age of mass deception. Why is there such warfare over political America right now? It's because of the battle that's raging in the heavenlies. It's because of the confusion and deceptive voices coming out of structures of power. We can be a people that discern what is of God in the land and where the battle is raging. What tunes our hearts to hear from God? The hood has been flicked up on our lives. God's best technician is going to give us a little tune-up, a little prophetic tune-up as we wrap up this brief teaching. Prayer is an obvious answer. Prayer, the spirit of prayer. Prayer is so dull and boring, it isn't even funny. But when we move into the spirit of prayer, wow, this is good. This is good. It's like the master technician tuning our hearts, revealing carnality, twisted, angry emotions, fine-tuning us to remember the pathway that we're on, to bring back things the Holy Spirit has said to us historically. Fasting is another way we can fine-tune our hearts to hear God's voice, being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit loves to confirm our status as children of God. He'll do that so quickly, but he also likes us to ask God. He loves you and I to ask him every morning that we be filled afresh. Speaking in tongues is a good way of raising your spiritual antenna. Always having a short list of ongoing sinful activity in your life, dealing with your sin before Almighty God. Always waiting on God. When you wait on God, you don't wait on God in a vacuum. One or two things will happen. A scripture you haven't read for a long time will start to rumble around your mind. It doesn't necessarily mean it's dramatic. Or an old chorus that you haven't sung for years will start to come alive in you once more. But making yourself useful to God and working in his field attracts the voice of God into your life. Do something in your local churches. If you're doing nothing, enroll for the Ministry of Helps. Most ministers I know began their calling in the Ministry of Helps. I still enjoy doing that in my home church. I enjoy doing very ordinary things, not because I'm trying to be humble and show off and go, look at me, I do ordinary things. I actually get a buzz out of it. I get a buzz going to the post office for the church or rushing out to buy tea bags or milk or coffee or bread. It just gives me a buzz in the inside. I've never been able to quantify that. Being drinking coffee, that's maybe part of the motivation. Let's wrap this up, and I think we've got some Q&A coming up, but I'll defer to Dave and Bob. So we'll wrap this up in the next 5 minutes. Ish. Kind of, sort of, subject to jet lag, making me lose self-awareness. And 5 hours from now, I'm still up here droning on. Have you ever seen a Scottish drone? Pray you don't encounter one today. We can't take a prophetic stance. Proverbs 8:34 tells us to listen, to watch, and to wait. It's like we're on standby, not getting all intense, but watching. Sometimes the word of the Lord breaks into our lives over a year. It begins very slowly, and you think God is saying this, but not sure. But when we're watching and we're giving God time, then there's this point we hear. And then in the waiting, we always realize there's a time for action. The picture in Proverbs 8:34 is someone standing in a doorway. It keeps our expectancy high before God. And we're waiting for God to come to the door. We know that God will come to the door. God always speaks specifically. It's never metaphorical, vague. It's always quite specifically. Sometimes he speaks in visions. He spoke to Daniel in the Old Testament and Ananias in the book of Acts in a vision. Occasionally, he has given the saints of God dreams. He gave Paul a dream in the book of Acts about the man from Macedonia. Come over into Macedonia and help us. God spoke to Pharaoh in a dream with absolute clarity. God spoke to Pontius Pilate's wife and said, have nothing to do with the man Jesus. So that's another realm of where God can speak to us. He did speak to Moses in an audible voice. At one time, that was very rare in the contemporary church. But in my travels now, I'm finding more and more believers have heard God speak to them in an audible voice. Let me see your hand if God's ever spoken to you in an audible voice. So there's a number of people here today. If we jump back 20 years or 30 years, and I put that question out there, you'd be doing well to get one hand going up in a sizable congregation. God speaks in many ways to you and I, many ways. But he speaks primarily through the written word of God. Three practical things that will add to our hearing ability: submit to God. Our internal rebellion is where we wrestle with God, maybe not in big issues, but in minor issues. Ask God to always give you a grace to submit. Don't allow people in your life that feed rebellion in you, that excite rebellion in you. Resist the devil. Focus on God himself and resist the devil. There's a warfare grace to resist the devil. It's the shield of faith where you can put that against the lies of the enemy and hit the circumstances of your life with the shield of faith as you resist the works of the evil one. And ask God to calm all other voices. Ask God to still the secular voices that come at you every day, the nagging voices that seem to be around you, nagging away, accusing voices, tormenting voices. And, of course, be wary of spending time with family and friends that tell you what they think, but they're talking about you in derogatory terms. Our ears were never designed to be slop buckets. We're called to be discerning, men and women of God, as we follow the Lord. The greatest privilege we can walk in during this life journey is carrying a purpose of God that will be fulfilled in our lifetime. And in that process, knowing a life has truly counted for something. Whosoever trusts and serves the Lord shall never be disappointed. Part of what the Lord brings to us is that sense of fulfillment. My life has stood for something. What a tragedy to go through life seeking pleasure, doing your own thing, and when you start to get up there, realize it really has stood for nothing. Nothing whatsoever. But we're a people of destiny. We're a people with a calling on our lives. We're a people called to fulfill prophetic purpose within us as we seek the Lord in our generation. Amen. I'll go for about 30 minutes or so. Okay. Yeah.
That was really good. I want to encourage us to, that'll be downloadable or it'll be on livingwatersmn.org. He went through about 35 things that will help us hear the word of the Lord. And I love the thought that it's not about the gift, it's about relationship with Jesus and hearing him. And that brings it into intimacy rather than a gift. And it brings it into something that's available to everybody rather than a chosen few. That's the higher level, right? But I just want to encourage, I'm going to go through those things and just examine and see what are the nuts and bolts that were laid out here that I can look at in my life. We're going to do question and answer. What I want to encourage you to do, who's been taking notes and who has pen and paper? All right. If you don't, you should have. No, I'm just kidding. But here's what I'd like to do. I would like, if you could, if you've got a question, write it down. Because it's easier to read a question than to try to come up with it. And I really, for the sake of the entire group here, I want people to just simply ask a question. I don't really want to go into making statements in the name of being a question. That makes sense? So if you have a pen and paper, please write down the question that you have. If you tend to be rambling on a little bit, I just might gently pull the plug. but it really is for the sake of the entire group here. That makes sense? Yeah. I'm not being mean or anything here, am I? No, okay. No, you don't have to hand the question to me. It's just that when I bring the microphone to you, and I will want you to speak into the microphone because this is recorded. When I bring the microphone, then you're just asking a succinct question rather than kind of trying to formulate it as you go. Okay?
Good.
So who's got a question? Who's ready and ready? Okay. Tell us your name and what your question is.
I need to stand up. My name is Kelsey, and my question is, I am new to just the prophetic words of knowledge, and I feel like I do hear from God audibly. Someone who's been mentoring has talked about discerning chatter versus his actual voice, and sometimes the chatter can seem like God, even if it's good, but it's not good, and it's not of God. How do I discern from that versus God's voice?
Okay, Kelsey, by time and experience, and it's part of God growing and developing you, too. Keep it nice and relational with the Lord. Ask him to give you his heart, help you to tune into his thoughts and his emotions, and you'll find that will start cutting through the white noise that goes on in the background. But if you ever feel things are getting vague and just slightly alarming, abandon what you're doing and absorb yourself in the scriptures. You'll find that there's such a strong correlation between the written word of God and the capacity to hear the voice of God, that's a good blend and operation in your life. And if you keep before you the fact every one of us are only learning, you never graduate beyond being a learner. And it's a time of training and development. It will remove any sense of guilt or you should be further along the road or hearing better things. If you've got access to good quality books on the subject, the guys who have written those books will be your teachers. They've done a lot of research on your behalf. You only had to spend $10 to get access to that research. And they'll be your voices in terms of training, developing. Chris Valatin is a very safe pair of hands in training and developing the body of Christ. Also Mark Virkler, V-I-R-K-L-E-R, is probably the most significant teacher on the planet for helping saints hear the voice of God. Valatin's V, Victor, A, double L, O, T, O, N. But as you Google, he'll come up right away. He gets lots of hits every day. The whole planet loves Chris Valatin. Thank you, Kelsey.
All right. Who's got a question written down?
How do you tell between, like, the unction, you know, when it comes on you, and just, like, trembling in his presence, you know, when you get something that comes into mind and you feel like maybe you should go forward, but, you know, it's like, you know, get the sensations and all that, but it's like, how do you defer the difference of unction, you know, of actually, okay, he's telling you to go forward, or if it's just you're in his presence and you're just overwhelmed and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Generally, if you're in God's presence and you're overwhelmed and your emotions are flowing out of that, it's God just saying to you, enjoy my presence. He'll never pressure you to the point you're not quite sure of what you need to do. So make that your starting point and stay there. Most of us, when we're called to do something, respond on a tentative basis anyway. We don't just jump right in. But presence is very important. And this move of God in the body of Christ over 21st century will be about the church carrying the presence everywhere they go. Because most secular Americans now would only see the gospel as something religious. So they wouldn't want to engage with the message. But God has other ways of saying hi. Yeah,
exactly. Next question.
Ellen, my question is, I have made covenants with the Lord. That's part of the relationship that we have. And I sometimes find some of the old ones and I'm going, oh, these are already done or whatever. But how do you know, like right now, I know I'm supposed to write a new one. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be about for, but it's for a new, brand new season. That's all I know. But how do you know for sure that the old one or sections of the old one, how do you know they're done? And then you can move on to a new one, or do they just keep going on forever? I guess that would be my question.
Okay, Seal, what's really important for all of us to recognize is we're already in covenant with God because of the blood of Jesus and the covenant cut between the Father and the Son. It's the last covenant he will ever make with the human race. He's made multiple covenants pre-Jesus, but this is the last covenant he will ever make. We can't add to that, and we can't supersede it by doing a personal covenant with God. Anything we do in the way of a personal covenant will come out of the covenant that already exists. When the founding fathers of America put together a covenant with God, it really just came out of the covenant that they already had with Jesus, only this time it was for socio-political and economic purpose, to create a land where people can be free. So it was all an extension of what Jesus had already done. In fact, every time we have church, we fulfill the covenant. Every time there's a preaching of the word of God or have communion, it's fulfilling the covenant. We can't add to it. Our service is actually an expression of you and I fulfilling the covenant. So in some ways, it's a matter of hearing what God is saying to you. And when he tells you to be committed to something, go for it. And while you may want to relate to the Lord on covenantal terms, doing what you do, know that it's not a new covenant, but it's tapping into the new covenant that God cut with the Father and the Son, permanent, and out of that, a new race of people emerging, the new creation. We're the last race of people, breed of people that God will ever create, the new creation. So it's a big answer, but it can, with that foundation, it helps us muddle through who we are and what we've got to do. Every time he confirms our status as a child of God in something specific, all he's doing is demonstrating another component of the covenant we walk in. There's been a danger in the church where many have made fresh covenants with God outside the covenant they already have. It becomes sometimes a vehicle for control, abuse, and exploitation. So there's a warning in much of understanding the true nature of covenant. We're all in covenant relationship with one another because we're in Christ Jesus. I'd encourage you to do some reading in the blood covenant, and that will really liberate you, Seal, into going for it in God and understanding your own relationship with God. My acting as a prophet is only fulfilling the covenant that God had already set in place. I'm an Assemblies of God pastor back home in Glasgow. It's another expression of that covenant. If I'd chosen it as part of my own ambition and desires, nothing would have happened. I'd have been choosing vocations outside of the covenant of God. Has that helped you?
Yeah, so mainly what I guess...
Just a question.
Yep. So what I'm getting is that it's what I'm doing is more of an agreement, an acknowledgement of what he's telling us to do already.
Yeah, yeah.
Or me. Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Cool. A Scotsman never speaks in plain English. He confuses everybody, including himself.
That was a good answer, Alan.
Thank you,
Bob.
It
was a good answer on covenant, but I feel like assignments always change. They shift from time to time. But covenant's always the same. And who you are is always the same. So it's just hearing what the assignment is as it shifts and changes. Anybody else? Question?
I have a question.
You spoke about the new creation. Is there old creations?
I appreciate your answer, Marge. Let me get back to you in about 6 years. When God ordained a new creation on the day of Pentecost, every person entering into the new creation experienced the old creation passing away. But the world in its present form is passing away. And men and women living outside of Christ are outside the new creation, but they may be recipients and probably will be the recipients of the common grace of God across a lifespan, and always believing there's a point where God brings salvation to them. We're in a positive kingdom, so God never has a negative thought, and I believe that's an honest answer to your question. You're looking great. Keep doing what you're doing. You must be working in a gym to look as youthful as you are. And that's next. Cool. Thank you.
You said... I'm sorry, I'm Renee.
Hi, Renee.
Hi,
you're vaguely
Alan.
Familiar to me.
Yes. You said something like, God always speaks specifically, not metaphorically or vague. Can you expound on that?
Sure.
Okay.
He may begin in a metaphor, but you'll know what he's saying eventually. It depends on who you are. Most people hear the voice of God bubbling up. It's about 75% of a flow. So you think, is this me? Is it God? You think, this is God. And a good way of addressing whether it is God or not is journaling what you think you're hearing. And even if you're caught in unbelief, give it a week or so. And when you look back at what you've written, you'll go, that is God. I just know it. I just know it. My spirit's, the Holy Spirit's confirming to my spirit, this is God. But for some it is pictures, maybe 25%. And they're metaphorical language can kick in because it's someone's natural thought world thinking metaphorically, but it will never be vague. It'll get to a bottom line. He may give someone a vision of Italy, and out of that there'll be a metaphorical language for the condition of the church in Italy or what God wants to do in Italy, but it'll come to a bottom line. You'll know how to respond to that. You'll maybe hear of a short-term mission trip, a church in St. Paul, you know you have to go on that. It can mean a lot of things to a lot of people, but it's easy to understand ultimately. If it's half-baked, it's not the time to act on it. And there's a separation of spirit and soul too. It's okay to have soulish, interpretations that you think may be God. The passage of time will reveal, I wanted that to be God, I thought it was, but it's not. But journaling, God's big in writing things down, incidentally. Scribes found the power of God, translating a lot of the Old Testament into regional languages. They were alive in God. They were not computer operators. They were alive in God. So we should all be a scribe to some extent. Maybe not formal journalists, but write things down. It's incredible. Write excruciating pain down. Give it words and language. Write it down. You'll be amazed at how quickly the pain disappears. It's incredible. Has that helped, Renee? Cool stuff. Are you metaphorical or bubbling up? Are you metaphorical or bubbling up?
Probably bubbling up.
Bubbling up. Most people are, Renee. Most people get the bubbling up.
So when you pray over people, do you see things metaphorically? Do you hear things metaphorically? Is there a combination of the bubbling up and the metaphorical?
Yeah, yeah.
Can we pick your brain on that?
Absolutely. The bulk is bubbling up, and a very strong perception that starts to carry the word of the Lord for a person. But sometimes I'll get pictures and haven't a clue what they mean, but the bubbling up gives me the translation. I've learned never to try and interpret a picture with soulish knowledge, but unless I get a revelatory word, I leave it alone. Probably about 20% of what God gives me I don't release. It's more for me to shape and form the word of the Lord. It's like the tools, if you like. I'm working on the spanners and the ratchets and a file, filing a word down. It's a bit rough, that word. A bit too clumsy, a bit too sharp. Put some oil in the word so it's gentle. All that's going on in the mind and heart of the Scottish prophet when he's praying over people.
That's good.
This is kind of similar, but how much of your prophecy is like direct word to word versus a paraphrase? And then even like when you're, it's like on the spot, how are you then, I guess, weighing that? Or do you, if it's word for word?
I weigh everything word for word, and it should be a direct communication. It should be plain and simple. It's either all right or it's all wrong. There's no wiggle room. But God wrote the scriptures in a way that most of it's easy to read and understand. Forget what I said about Leviticus and the blood sacrifices earlier. And Revelation should be in the heavy duty version of the Bible. But generally, most of the Bible is easy to read. It's a plain and simple language. And prophecy should be the same. Now, it doesn't mean you get it right away.
Word for word? Are you hearing it word for word?
Yeah. Do you remember telex machines? Are you too young to remember telex machines? I'm not asking your age. Who remembers telex machines here? Do you remember the movies? That's a good answer. You had to prepare a ticker tape. You typed it up and you fed it through the telex printer and you would transmit the message to the recipient, who could be hundreds of miles away. I used to order parts for a firm I worked for in the early 1980s by telex. I became a telex operator. But when the tape was being fed through, all the words came up on the screen. But when the tape ended, it just stopped. So I had that ticker tape going on in the inside of me. And when it stops, I stop. Has that helped?
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of telex machines. Google when you go home. Look at images. And you'll think, I didn't realize he was so old.
Was there like a learning factor though? Because like you're hearing words and so you're saying it, but sometimes you don't even have in the moment the time to process what you're saying to this other person. Often at the end you're like, wow, that was really good, God. But
Really to, think if you're just going okay.
like word to word.
I trust the God of prophecy that what I'm saying is accurate. It's a trust operation. If I thought about it too deeply, I would be horrified. So being a simple-minded Scotsman has its advantages.
Thank you.
Good morning, Alan.
Hi,
Damien.
Hi, Damien.
I just want to ask you, there's a couple of things that you mentioned about less is more, and you threw out an approach to the Bible. So my question is, as I approach the Bible, how can I get more from less? Meaning, like, that kind of sounded bad, but like, as I'm trying to dig into the Word, I just see like this big, huge ocean.
Yeah.
And so how can I get that meat, but like do it efficiently and effectively?
Okay. It's a valid question. And there's times we all want to really get into the Word and then think, where do I begin? So I'll give you two things to do, Damien. Pray the Holy Spirit will give you his desires in terms of either a book of the Bible you have to live in or a chapter of a Bible. A chapter of a book of a Bible. Generally, he will point you to Paul's epistles. I find that's usually where the Holy Spirit leads you to. Then ask him to illuminate some Bible verses. And you'll know when they're coming alive. And that will be a starting point for memorization and bringing it before the Lord. The Holy Spirit's your teacher. Don't come to it with any preconceived ideas. Come to it as one tipping his toe in the water. And just see where you go from there. Asking him for inheritance promises is good. The epistles are full of them. But you want it to be a living word, not a written word. If you're really developed in it, you can engage in a Latin discipline called Lectio Divina. That's a bit of a mouthful on a Saturday morning. Lectio Divina. And the ancients would spend hours every day reading the same Bible verse over and over. And it was life to them. It was meat and it was drink. So your question really can be answered in such a way that the Bible is deeper than the Atlantic Ocean. You're plunging into something more vast than the Atlantic Ocean. But there's a place in there for you to be fed the Word of God. When all else fails, begin at Psalm 23. But getting real with the Holy Spirit and your spirit's the key. But it's a huge question with a huge answer. But God always gives us a starting point, Damien. Has that helped? Good man.
Hi, Alan. My name's Dina.
Hi, Dina.
I have a quick question. You had mentioned just a little bit ago that when you're ministering to people, there's probably about 20% of it that you don't release and is kind of for you. Mm-hmm. How do you decipher, like, what should be released to the person you're ministering to versus kind of what for you?
I get divine authority to release things. I know it's okay to release certain information. Sometimes I get very sensitive and personal information about a person that may embarrass them enormously. Or in many ways, it's not even my business what I'm getting. It's between the person and the Lord. So two things happen there. I never release it, and I forget all about it instantly. Because it's none of my business. And God is a God of great integrity. It's between the hearer and the Lord releasing the prophetic word.
Hi, Alan. I'm Deborah.
Hi, Deborah.
I do prophetic painting and drawings, as well as giving words. But a year ago, I did about 12 of them. And I did them ahead of time and because I had to leave. And I was amazed because I didn't necessarily know for sure that what I was drawing was going to be anywhere near what would be significant or a prophetic. Mm-hmm. And so my question is, and maybe you don't see pictures or drawings like I do, but even in hearing, I'm not sure until like afterward people confirmed it and they said, oh my gosh, that was right on. Do you have that same thing where you're giving the word and you get done and you're like, I have no idea if that met the target or not?
Every time.
Okay. Okay.
That's the truth of it, Deborah. I'm a Scotsman, which means I was born insecure and with low self-esteem. And every service I minister at, I will be quite nervous, hoping the words were okay. And if I see someone I've prayed over kind of looking at me in an unfriendly manner, I have a little panic attack in the inside. Go, I hope that was okay. But that's why it's so important to judge and test every prophecy, because it was never meant to sit alongside Scripture. But if it's of God, the Spirit of God in the Word will bring the Word of God alive, take the person on a journey of fulfillment, and then bring it to pass.
I'd like to add to that, being with Alan before the services, after the services, he will always ask us, how were the words? Were the words right? You know, and that, you know, we have to guarantee you all, we don't tell Alan anything ahead of time. And we preface that. I purpose not to talk to him about things because he wants the word to be pure. But he is always concerned. How was it? Did that make sense? Were the words accurate? So it's always a risk for Alan. And it's a risk for us. So, yeah.
Hi, I'm Deb.
Hi, Deb.
I've heard a lot of teachers in the prophetic saying that you should practice to like strengthen your gift. I mean, there are times where like I know that I have a word for somebody, but how do you grow that?
Well, the Lord will grow your gift through using your gift, Deb. The key, though, is not growing your gift. It's the key is always understanding your journey with God, because that's where the revelation comes from that feeds through your gift. That gives you your prophetic language. It's never ethereal. It's been crafted in your heart through experience. Yeah, that's pretty much how it all works.
Hi again.
Hey, Kelsey.
So I had a question on acceleration. I have been new to this whole world of tongues and prophecy and some of the things that God has been revealing to me, and the growth that has happened in such a short time has brought some people to mention like, wow, this takes years and years for you to get to the point that you have gotten in 6 months. Mm-hmm. But the word I keep getting is acceleration for the purpose that God has for me soon. And I would like to ask, you know, how common is that? Is because it creates doubt in me, wondering, is this normal? Am I abnormal that this is happening to me?
Well, to encourage you, Kelsey, we're all abnormal people trying to convince people we're normal. That's the biggest battle we go through in our lives. But God has chosen to move you into a spirit of acceleration, but he would have done a deep work in you before you were released into the spirit of divine acceleration. And the same thing happened with me when I was called to be a prophet in June 1997. I'd gone through, looking back the way, a solid 10 years of training and very difficult life circumstances where God had been preparing me to have the spirit of a prophet, but I didn't know. It all started happening. Then within 3 years, I had a worldwide ministry and I couldn't believe what was happening. That divine acceleration was on me too. So be grateful for it. And when the Lord wants to transition you, you'll be conscious of leaving that season and moving into a time of consolidation. But we're in a time of accelerations at the moment. Prophecies are being fulfilled now in a month that used to take a year. They're being fulfilled in a year. that used to take 10 years and they're being fulfilled in a day when it would maybe take a month. So it's the heavenlies are carrying an incredible prophetic grace that's entering into the church as the burden of the Lord. You're probably a forerunner for other people that will learn from you in the future. A time of divine acceleration usually carries with it being a forerunner voice for that which you're running with.
We've got time for maybe two more.
Hello, this is Henry.
Hi, Henry.
So, our 2 years at Bethel, we saw a lot of different flavors, I guess I would say, for prophetic words. Sean Bolts gets words like we saw with other people out there ahead of time. So my question is, does God give you information for prophetic words for people before you meet them or go to a meeting so that you're looking for a particular person to deliver it when you get to a meeting?
No, it's point of delivery. Sometimes pastor chooses people. Other times I feel very drawn to people in a congregation. And it's I never know what I'm going to say next. It just keeps flowing, basically. But there's so many different types of prophetic gifting. Some prophets will see people in the spirit before the meeting, then will identify them physically and go, oh yeah, yeah, I saw him in a dream or I saw a vision of this man here before the service. It'd be quite good to do that, quite glamorous, very Benny. But I just don't have that capacity. I would ham it up. I'd be swinging my jacket and going, oh, I saw you in a dream. But anyway, God keeps me living as a mundane Scotsman. But there we go. I wouldn't have a haircut like Benny Hinn. That I can guarantee. It's not a hairdo, it's a Hindu. Anyway, moving on.
My name is Tricia. And
hi,
I really,
Tricia.
We so appreciate your humor. Thank you so much
Thank
for
you.
It. It's interesting you asked that question because that was one that was bubbling up in me was, I've seen pastor point out people for you to give a word over. And so my question is, can you pretty much give a word over whosoever? Because, you know, when he says, give a word for this person, well, then you've got to step into that.
Mm-hmm.
And is it also difficult to turn it off? I mean, are you looking at people even down the street getting words all over the place? And what is that like?
Don't tell anyone this, Tricia. But seeing I'm walking down the street, here's what's going on in my mind. Could handle a latte. I wonder what my favourite Beatles song really is. You know? Don't be too impressed by what you see on the platform. I can pray over anybody, anywhere, at any time. But God's a God of order. And if it's happening outside of a platform, as it has on planes, trains and automobiles, random experiences with strangers when I'm minding my own business in a coffee shop, it's because God's up to something there, not me showing off. I tend to just pretty much focus when I'm on a platform. I've got a very normal life off a platform. I wouldn't want it any other way.
I can say from experience with hours and hours of windshield time and hours of living room time that Alan's pretty normal. So, one more question, then we're going to move on to prophetic words. So,
hi, I'm Joanne.
Hi, Joanne.
Going back to when you don't give the whole word that you're hearing or seeing, when God gives you personal information that you don't release, and you said that he uses it for you, can you give us an example of a specific example of what kind of thing you wouldn't release, and then how does God use that for you? basically, why would God tell you something that you don't release?
First of all, God's grown me enough to trust me. And I never get that going to Bible school. So it means you're handling other people's lives. And you're handling personal information about other people's lives. So he has to grow you enough that the character of Christ is undergirding that. And that would be, well, one of the answers to your question. But all in all, is to act as a catalyst for the prophetic word that I'm going to give, that the word will be framed by grace, not by natural information. God makes a kick in the pants sound like a pat in the head. He's just amazing. He's not obsessed with sin. We are, he isn't. He's dealt with it. What part of I've dealt with it do you not understand? But Lord, I've got a struggle. Oh, my father wound's activating again. That's why I stabbed the mailman. You know? We have all this obsession with sin to the point we're even suspicious of ourselves. We walk into a room and go, oh me, oh my. But God's continually aligning us with who he is and who we are in him. And that's where a point of conflict lies, because it sounds too good to be true, but it is true. Has that helped you? Confused you? What would you like answered specifically? Yeah, but it'd be a language of grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you one example from about 20 years ago. There was a man in a church in New York that he was oozing pornography, just coming, oozing out of him. And the word I delivered over him was, God is going to grow righteousness in you. And you're going to move into very deep revelations of righteousness. And there is going to be a mentor in your life. God's going to give you a pastor that will mentor you through this. And his name will be Bill. Now, that would have sounded really good to the congregation. But an elder in the church and the pastor of the church had been working with him. And went to him after the meeting and said, we need to talk. He made an appointment with the pastor and the elder of the church, and he confessed that he was involved in pornography, very deep levels of pornography, and actually was drinking very heavily too. And as they were working with him, it transpired a lot of his inner torment came out of the relationship he had with his father when he was younger. So now they're getting somewhere pastorally, and he started to stabilize. He moved from New York to Florida, was very drawn to a church nearby to where he lived. He went to the church, fell deeply in love with the church, bonded with the pastor, whose name was Bill. And Bill mentored him. He says, as godly a man as you could meet anywhere now.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Has that helped, Joanne, with cooking the gas? Still sending me a Christmas card? Good. Good. We're done. Amen. Well, pray over some people, Dave.
Yeah, if you want to pray over some people, but I'd like if you would pray over Henry and Leslie have a prophetic team that ministers in the church, and if that team would come forward, come on up. And it's not necessarily a word over everybody, just as a team, but whatever's in your heart, Ellen.
Okay.
You want it this way or that way?
I have to pray this through. I don't have revelation yet, Leslie.
Well, you a second.
Bunch together, guys. Be a huddle and link arms. Don't hold hands, link arms. Armies don't hold hands, they link arms. Because you're the invincible ones. And now you're getting it. Link those arms, O army of the Lord. Amen. See, what you're demonstrating right now, it's a spiritual statement. Link together arm and arm. Christ in you individually and corporately is indestructible. So you're beginning from a good place. Imagine an army of the Lord like this, carrying a prophetic mantle in every church in America. Wow. You're a forerunner to the future. You're modeling something that will be the norm in American churches rather than the exception. So I'm going to pray three things. Deeper impartation, circumstances that will come into your lives that will act as growth factors in hearts that are deeply devoted to Jesus, that you love Jesus more than the prophetic gifts he's given you, then your prophetic gifts will just prosper. So, Father, I pray for this amazing group of people in the mighty name of Jesus. Deeper impartation one to another. May the linkage of arms transmit that impartation throughout this unified team. No prophetic superstars, just a prophetic community adding great value to the local house of the Lord. Father, release circumstances into the training processes of the group individually and collectively that will promote growth factors, growth emotionally, growth mentally, growth spiritually, growth with an overwhelming desire for community. And Father God, may you cause this group to enter into a grace that brings them to a deeper devotion of Jesus, devoted to Jesus and living in the devotion of Christ Jesus. I pray now, Father, at the clap of my hands for an unraveling of every satanic strategy raised against this group individually and collectively. Yes. Have fun unraveling the enemy's plans, Father. Thank you. You don't get intense about this and all religious. You're just a fun Father God. You've been whipping the enemy for millennia. Have fun whipping the enemy as he tries to mess with this group. Build a huge warrior spirit within them to govern the city, to govern the region. Give them governmental insights and strategic knowledge that they can govern Elk River and surrounding area spiritually and prophetically and see real results coming through in the natural. Father God, in Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Alan. Thank you. If you want to focus, I think we can do that.